Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with My Opel, rewarding loyalty and taking care of members.
Now, there were 1,358 new coronavirus cases reported yesterday. There are 400 patients, 402 really at last count, in hospitals with COVID-19. The HSE Chief Clinical Officer, Dr. Colm Henry, admitted that the figures were higher than they would like. Niamh O'Byrne is the HSE's National Lead for Test and Trace, and she joins me now in the studio. Niamh, you're very welcome. Just looking at those most recent hospital figures, 402, as I say, an increase of 2 on yesterday. Today's figure, 75 of these patients in ICU. But going back to the testing, which is where you come in, we have the highest number of COVID-19 infections being treated in hospitals. So when you look at where the testing is at, how are things looking on that front?
So things have changed recently. About 6 days ago, we started to reverse the downward trend that we had been seeing. And we start to see an increase week on week in the testing. So not huge, but starting to see anywhere between 5% and 10% of an increase week on week in the testing numbers.
And the number of people coming forward.
Number of people coming forward for testing, yeah.
And then what about the positivity rates?
Yeah, so the positivity in the community is also, generally speaking, starting to rise, and at the moment sits at around 10%. And again, we have a few counties where it's a bit higher and others where it's lower. And a slight change also in those coming forward for testing in different age groups.
Okay, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But how does the 10% positivity rate compare to, say, a month ago?
It was a few percent lower a month ago. And we were testing, of course, you have to remember, lots of asymptomatic people, particularly with the high volumes of children testing that we were doing in September. So that tends to drop the positivity level by a number of percent. So what we're definitely testing now is more symptomatic people and more COVID positive people at this time. So mm-hmm. more people coming home forward with symptoms.
I mean, it's interesting when you see where the hospital numbers are. They're at the highest since March. Given what you're seeing in the testing and the 10% positivity, is it likely that the numbers of people being treated in hospital, that's likely to go up in a couple of weeks' time now?
Well, we're starting to see the median age of those COVID positive change. That was 27, the age 27 a few weeks ago. It's now 34. So what that is showing us is that people who are older, more people who are older are turning positive. So again, you know, less in the teenage ages and up to the kind of 20s and 30s, and more people over the age of 65 are turning COVID positive.
So potentially those people are going to be sicker.
Yeah, potentially those people would be sicker again. Vaccination is, of course, a tremendous aid to keeping people out of hospital and ICU. But definitely those who are in their 30s and 40s and 50s, more likely, if they were unvaccinated, to end up in hospital.
What's the percentage of people who are testing positive who are vaccinated and not vaccinated? Do you get that breakdown?
We do get that breakdown. So it changes slightly every day, but at the moment it's in around between 40 and 50% on any given day.
Okay, 40 to 50%
who are not vaccinated.
Who are
not vaccinated, yeah.
Okay, and then I know you look as well at where people might have been in the contact tracing. So what are you seeing there?
So still the top two types of close contacts and those who are COVID positive would be household and social. So as you would expect, there are more social gatherings and more outbreaks in some of those settings. So you will see birthday parties and hen parties and people kind of getting together, communions, things like that, where you would see higher levels in the isolated instance, to be fair, where you have maybe higher levels of positivity amongst a group of close contacts in those environments.
What about residential care settings?
Yeah, there are outbreaks in residential care settings. In some instances, quite large numbers, but more recently we've seen smaller outbreaks. But yes, we are seeing and continued kind of challenges in some of our RCFs.
Is that staff or residents?
Both.
Okay. I mean, is that likely to lead to visiting restrictions across the board again, do you think? Are we at that stage?
I don't think we're necessarily at that stage yet, but it's definitely something that the community teams are monitoring very closely and taking good care to look at what's happening and how they're managed.
And the booster programme, which is being rolled out at the moment, may change those numbers, would you say?
Well, the booster programme should have a positive impact in some of those instances, but COVID remains the same as it was before, a highly infectious illness, and one where infection prevention and control is the number one tool in RCFs. And that becomes, it's really challenging after 18 months of a pandemic.
Okay, let's talk a little bit more about the regional variations, because you said that there's differences there. Can you take us through where you're seeing the highest rates of COVID?
Yeah, so and the positivity level by county at the moment, and the highest is in Kerry, and we've historically had high in some of the border counties, so Monaghan and Donegal remain high, and Kerry and Waterford, which is different maybe what we might have seen in the past, but Kerry and Waterford around 15% and Donegal and Monaghan around 13%.
That's high, isn't it? 15% is high relative to the 10% average.
Yeah, it's high, and we have obviously seen it much higher if you look all the way back to January and February, but those rates were lower a number of weeks ago, so they do seem to be creeping up.
Okay, remind us what the positivity rate was back at the start of the year.
So in some sites we would have had on counties up to 50% positivity when you look back at January and into February, but today it's kind of varying anywhere between a couple of percent and up as far as 15.
Are you able to look then at Kerry, Waterford, the border counties, and see what is going on? You know, why those rates are higher?
Yes, we can certainly see the age groups of those who are positive. We understand the outbreaks in those particular areas. Sometimes in a smaller populated area, you can throw up high positivity if there's one particular incident in one establishment or something like that can kind of really make a difference. So it is important to watch it over time and to see what's happening. But we certainly know in some of those areas the testing is also busier, and we've put in additional supports in some of those areas to just deal with the demand in the short term.
We're 10 days out now from a big reopening across the board on the 22nd of October. I mean, you'd begin to wonder when you see 10% positivity rate and the number of cases going up, hospitalizations going up, whether we're doing the right thing.
Well, I think, you know, NPHET meet next week, and they'll be looking at the data that comes through this week as part of their decision making process. It's only recently started to change again. And again, it's something that, you know, COVID has lots of surprises for us. It can change again. So we noticed yesterday, for example, testing, we did around 17,000 tests in community, which is quite high, but it was just 5% up on the prior week. So as we see the rest of the days of this week, we'll have to see what's actually happening with both positive and the volumes.
But you're in no doubt, as you sit here, that things are changing. You know, they're looking different.
They're certainly looking different in the last 6 or 7 days. Mm-hmm. So we look back over 14 versus the prior 14, not too different. But when you look just at the last 6 or 7 days, you do start to see a change in the trend.
Okay. And we've mentioned the communion parties, the birthday parties, the hen parties, the confirmation parties, the residential care settings. But really, it's in the home. It's in a house where one person gets infected, and that's pretty much always been the case, hasn't it? That's where
it has. Yeah, exactly, that type of a setting. Household positivity is 25% for close contacts versus social, which is 10%. So it's always been an area where the highest number of close contacts are identified, and also the highest level of positivity.
I would imagine you're getting a lot of people into the testing centres now who have the dose that's doing the rounds that is not COVID, the upper respiratory infection. There's a lot of it going, isn't there?
There is, yeah, and we certainly feel that would be driving some of the volume of testing at the moment, because we're still doing a lot more testing than we would have done in other parts of the year. But it is coming into the winter time, and there are a lot more upper respiratory symptoms and people who are coming forward because they're symptomatic. Mm-hmm. But of course, in many cases, it's not COVID.
And they want to get into the doctor, and before they can get to see their doctor face to face, they need that test result. You're not saying to those people, don't come. I mean, you still want to see them being tested.
Absolutely, yeah. It's very, very important people are symptomatic. Some of these illnesses are hard to distinguish from one to another, so it is important that people do come forward for testing if they are symptomatic.
Now, the change in testing for children who were not symptomatic under the age of 12 in schools but who were considered close contacts, has that made a difference to what you're seeing coming in terms of that age group?
It has. So over the last number of weeks, we peaked in the middle of September with nearly 70,000 tests in children under the age of 18. If I look at last week, that number will be 36,000. So it has come back quite a lot. You would expect that the positivity rate will increase with that, because you're testing more symptomatic children than you would have been when you were testing 70,000.
People who are watching the 6-1 News will have seen Dr. Catherine Motherway, head of intensive care at University Hospital Limerick, and she was saying that the rise in the number of COVID patients in hospitals is beginning to cause concern, in particular the fact that two-thirds of patients patients in ICU are unvaccinated. Now, do you have any more information about the age range of those who tested positive and have not been vaccinated?
So we know there's around the 40,000-50,000 people who are unvaccinated in the over 40 age group, which is the age group we would be more concerned around for potential hospitalisation. And we know around 69% of people in ICU at the moment are unvaccinated, and about 40% of those in hospital are unvaccinated. So it still remains a really, really key tool. And there was a really interesting study in France that was produced in The Guardian talking about the effectiveness of vaccines. So that it continues to be really important to keep people out of hospital and to keep them out of ICU.
And the number of close contacts that people have, that people are testing positive, what does that mean?
Still very static. It sits about 3.5 per person. So if you look at last week, we contacted about 20,000 people who were close contacts of confirmed cases to let them know they were close contacts and then to book them for tests.
Would you expect that to be higher given that people are back in the office, back in the workplace?
We would expect it to be higher, but it's been that way for a long period of time now that it's stayed at 3.5. I think it is important people tell us they're close contacts, even if they are vaccinated. It's important that we have that conversation with them as opposed to the index case themselves. Around about 50% at the moment are fully vaccinated, which means they don't need testing and they don't need to restrict their movements. But it's good for our tracers to have that conversation just to make sure with the individual.
So I'm reading between the lines here. Do you suspect that people aren't telling you their full close contacts, the full list of names not coming forward?
It's likely that people don't tell us that, because if you look back at the data at the beginning of COVID, when we were asking close contacts, you would have had it well in excess of 10 per person. And even last Christmas, we would have had 6 or 7 per person in the peak of the December time. So when society is open, we do expect people to have on average at least 6 to 9. But generally speaking, what's reported to us is around about 3.
Okay. I asked you before about Professor Martin Cormacan's report, which I think he wrote in July of this year, and he suggested in that report that vaccinated adults who have mild symptoms would not be tested. Is that suggestion likely to be implemented anytime soon?
Well, certainly at the moment we've no indication of changing the way that we're organising testing and tracing. We've committed to all of our staff and that we will be available and will continue to do testing and tracing for the foreseeable future, well into next year. So we have thousands of staff involved in testing at the moment from all of our sites around the country doing swabbing, our laboratories who process our tests for us, and our contact tracers. So our understanding is that work will still be very important, and to kind of gather information from index cases and to let contacts know that they are a close contact, and then to kind of ascertain whether they're vaccinated or not, or if they've symptoms, because the important part is particularly people who are symptomatic and to come forward for testing. But we do know that later on this week and into next week, these will be topics for an effort to discuss and see where Ireland goes next with the pandemic.
That's interesting in itself, because there were some reports that test and trace would be pulled back significantly, possibly after the 22nd of October. You're saying that's not going to happen?
Well, certainly at the moment we have no plans in place. I mean, the 22nd is next Friday. We have no plans in place, and to do that we understand the importance, ongoing importance of testing and tracing and to keep that business in place and all of those staffing in place to be able to deal and to be agile and to be able to respond, because COVID, it never quite follows where we necessarily think it's going to be. So it's really important that we do have that structure in place and are able to provide testing and tracing services.
The Irish Times reported last month that contact tracing for adults might change, and that NPHET would be considering that in October this month.
Yeah.
Are you aware that that's on the agenda for them?
It will be on the agenda, absolutely. It will be on the agenda. But from our perspective, we have to have services there and to be able to respond no matter what the decision is. But the timing of whether or not when you move from pandemic to endemic is what's currently unknown, because there will be a point in time, we all hope, that when the disease is more endemic, that it'll be appropriate to change our contact tracing services. But the question, of course, is when.
Given what you've seen with the number of positive cases, it's probably not the right time to do it, would you say?
Well, I mean, that's a decision and discussion point for NPHET. We will all this week provide information into that meeting for them to have that conversation next week. And once they do, that we will adjust as they advise.
Mm-hmm. You yourself are on secondment from the real job and the real work, the other work that you do, not that this isn't real work, from Ernst & Young. I mean, are you planning to go back anytime soon, or do you know when that's going to happen?
Yeah, I will be going back, and I'm sure it'll be at some point this year.
Mm-hmm. This year?
Yeah.
Okay. Because this project is one which I know you have been deeply involved in for how long now?
18 months.
18 months. Would it be strange to leave it? I mean, you mentioned there that when the pandemic becomes endemic, things will change. But if you head back before then, will it feel like you're leaving something before it's completed for you?
Well, I think, you know, testing and tracing will continue before and after I'm there. It will continue. It will remain a really important part of the tool set. So the HSC will continue to do that. It won't be attached to me in any way.
So once it becomes a function that's embedded in the HSC, it can then be handed over.
Absolutely. And it will be a function that will be long term embedded in the public health teams. And they always did testing and tracing, obviously not to the scale that has been required through the pandemic. But that will be needed for some time to come. So the services will need to be available there centrally to the departments of public health around the country so that there is capacity to help them deal with this disease and for what's coming in the future.
Okay, Niamh, thank you very much for coming in once again. That's Niamh O'Byrne.